there. This is Jo McGarry. Welcome to our podcast. A little different from Radio Mojo, the radio show. The podcasts are meant to be a more private, more intimate, more in-depth look behind the scenes with our guests, and continuing to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. If you want to know more about what we do and our work specifically with restaurants and food clients, then you can go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, and this podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or any of the other places where you like to get your podcasts. Enjoy, and thanks for being with us. So I am at Salt in Kaka'ako. I'm going to be chatting with Tim Golden, who's a certified cicerone, and he's also the co-owner of Village Bottle Shop. Does everyone just call it the Village now?
Yeah, it's become Village or the Village, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It is. It's really cool. Hello, how are you?
Good. Awesome.
You're right in the heart of Kaka'ako, but you're one of the first people to come in here, and you guys came into this then unbuilt area with a kind of vision of bringing a new sort of gathering place for people in Honolulu. Do you want to tell us about it for people who might not have been to Village yet?
Sure. So 5 years ago or so, or if not more, my partner Darren Ogino and myself, both heavily into beer, enjoy it, but sort of wanted a different experience for it. And we had seen places on the mainland, in San Francisco and San Diego and New York, that sort of combined retail and bar on premise together, which for us was a optimal way of enjoying beer, because you get to go sit at a bar in a very casual, comfy place, drink some beer, taste beer, and then turn around and have an amazing selection of well-crafted beers to purchase to take home. And that was a catalyst of it all. We just sort of said, well, why not do it here? And I always joke, we were stupid enough to say, okay, let's do it. And then, okay, how are we going to do it? And, I give credit to Jeff Sederman over at Beerworks, because when he was building out, he's a good friend of mine, and he, I think, saw a vision in Kaka'ako, and he was the first one to jump in. And when he did it, there was nothing down here. And he said, you should go talk to the people at Kamehameha Schools, because they're working on this project over here called Salt. And we were one of the first tenants in here, first tenants to sign. And we just wanted to be part of the community. And we just saw this part of Kaka'ako being a community-based sort of area where we could be sort of a central gathering place. And we called it Village because that's what we wanted it to be. We wanted it to be a place where people can gather, whether it's with friends or with new friends, or even if you're by yourself and you meet somebody at the bar and you just chat with people at the bar.
So one of the things that I really like about it so much, and I thought it was just something that was a phenomenon in the beginning, but it's 4 years later and it's exactly the same, is when you walk in, people are sitting talking to each other. Like, there are some people working on laptops and stuff, and it does have that kind of effect, but people are having conversations. They're meeting at Village to talk and enjoy a beer. And there's something about beer that makes people kind of open up and want to have a conversation, don't you think?
Absolutely. And that is sort of the centerpiece around what we wanted to do, was be a central place where you can sit and talk, whether it be one-on-one with somebody or with a group. And it makes us smile to see people come in, and whether it be after a meeting for work and they're grabbing a few beers and they're sitting around a table. And we sort of designed a place to be that way. We designed it. It's bright when you walk in, and even at night it's bright. And we did it because we want you to see each other. There's a lot of other places where you can go and sit in a dark room and whatnot, and there's times and moments for that, but we felt we needed a place where it was light and bright, and you come in with your family, during the weekends. What's awesome is during the weekends you come in during the day and there's families in there, and people come with their kids, and it's just, they want to come and hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very cool, and it's very European. I mean, it just reminds me of being at home, where, you know, in the more modern pubs, you do like just sit and you want to talk, and it's a very fun environment to be in. But at the same time, you do have a phenomenal collection of beers, Tim. I mean, it's not just a gathering place for people to have a beer at the counter. You do have an amazing, what, 800 different kinds at any one time? What's the number right now?
It's over 600 right now. It goes up and down, and it's something we're always striving to. I mean, that's what I do. I seek them out. I spend time looking for things. If I can't get it, I figure out how to get it. A lot of the stuff that comes in there is just personal. I want it, and I'm hoping other people want it too. But I sort of look at the shop and some of the beer selections as that. It's what piques my interest, what gets me going, and how can I go and find it. And it's fun. That's what keeps things fun, because if there's a particular Belgian beer or a brewery or a brewery out of California, you know, if I can try and get it here and make it happen and connect the dots, then I'm going to try and do it. And that's awesome.
What sort of drove your passion originally to do this? I mean, you're a certified Cicerone. You obviously love beer. You love the study of beer. You love sharing beer with other people. But when you walk into the store, I mean, the range of beers is really outstanding. You can tell that the person in charge of picking the beers is somebody who's really devoted to it. Where did that come from? What sparked that in you?
It wasn't my father, because my dad's a big wine drinker. My brother is a lot older than me, and so he sort of came of drinking age-ish during the, you know, first sort of craft microbrewery boom, and I remember him giving me, like, Rogue Dead Guys. You know, I might have been, I was definitely not 21, but, you know, I had exposure to a lot of things that most kids, young adults, don't have exposure to. And I remember my brother used to go traveling, and he'd come back, and I'd be the 17-year-old with, you know, brewery shirts on and whatnot, because he was super into it, and it got me into it. And then, you know, I lived on the mainland for a while, and that definitely helped. So I moved away after going to the University of Hawaii and lived in Los Angeles for a long time, and just can't help it. You get exposed to things. San Diego is right there, and it was just a draw and a pull, and I started homebrewing. And you know, there was a point in my life where I wanted to open a brewery, and you know, that's what I was gonna do. And you know, things change, and I got more. Opening a brewery wasn't what for me. You know, I realized that wasn't gonna be something I could do. Or wanted to.
Because even if you were awesome, you couldn't make 600 beers in your brewery.
Exactly.
So that's why this is better.
Yeah. And I like so much of a range of beers. And I'm just a fan. At the end of the day, I'm a fan. And I try to follow that all the time. You know, I have breweries that I love and I've always loved. And I laugh now that we get to work with them. And, you know, David Walker was here a month ago, you know, and it's like it's Firestone Walker, and the guy who started it standing in the place that I own, and you know, we're giving people high fives. I mean,
and that's what makes it work, because your passion gets through to everyone that comes in and keeps on going. Is the mix of people that come in, are they people who know what they're looking for and they're really kind of intelligent and well-educated about their brews, or is it more people who come to you to say, okay, Tim, what's next? The last one was awesome. What can I try now?
It's both. We definitely have, and Hawaii's awesome that it has a large growing population of people who know their stuff, and they know what they like and they know what they don't like. And even those, they come in like, what's new? What do you got? And what's great about being in there, and what we love about our staff is we remember people. You know, if you come in a few times, we remember what you've had, what you like, what you don't like. Oh, you had that last time. I think this one's your thing. You walk in, you see Chris, our general manager. You know, he's amazing. He'll say, oh, did you like that beer? And sometimes it's somebody who's only been in once or twice. Like, how did you remember that? You know, and that's what we do. That's our job. You know, and we get a kick out of it. But we also have a lot of people who have never been in there. That's the first thing we ask. Like, can I help you find something? What are you looking for? is it a gift? Or, you know, what do you like? What do you don't like? And I think beer deserves that. And it's, and wine deserves it too. It's just hard when you walk into, you know, a big place or something that's not as specialized as us, you're not, it's hard to get that. And I think if you're going to seek something out that's special or different and unique and full of flavor, you know, it's fun to have someone else who really knows what they're talking about guide you along your path.
So it's interesting, like, that connection between beer and wine. So I think there's a sort of interesting thing going on in the beer world, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think in the beer world there's sort of a path of excellence that's being tread, where every small brewery that opens is following in the footsteps of larger microbreweries who've been doing an amazing job. And really this has been going on for 25 years of people just getting better and better and purer and purer. And there's something about the whole brewing industry now that in general for the smaller crafts, even those that are owned by bigger breweries, there's something about them that's very artisanal. And I think while that's always been true in the wine world, right now in the wine world there's more like what's a nice way to say, like, rubbish that's just made for promotional, just made to get out on the shelf
labels.
Quick, highly alcoholic, ridiculous labels. I see that happening in wine. I don't see that happening quite so much in beer. Is that just, am I just being a little bit too blinkered?
I think it's happening in beer in certain regions and areas. It might not be so much here in Hawaii just because we have a smaller sort of brewing scene with 12, 13 breweries in the state. There's definitely a lot of competition going on. So you do see that in other markets where there are so many breweries in a geographical region, they're competing with each other and they're all trying to one-up each other. And there are beers that are made just to try and one-up somebody. There's other beers that are, you know, maybe not that good that are getting put out. But that's just part of an industry growing. I mean, wine's gone through it because, you know, industries grow, they contract, things happen within industry. And I think in the craft brewing industry, it just grew so fast.
Yes.
So rapidly that things just happen. And it's not something that necessarily upsets me, or, you know, I know some people can get upset about it, but, you know, it happens. And if you look at any trending and growing industry, stuff like that happens.
Yeah, true. With people jumping on the bandwagon. I'm going to mention again that we're at Salt and Kaka'ako, which means that there's lots of people walking by and there's lots of ambient noise. And so if you're hearing all those things, then enjoy. What are you drinking right now? I mean, what 10 beers or however many you have on your top 10 list do you have right now?
I have been really happy about the resurgence of really well-made pilsners, both domestically and then also being able to get, like, I'm so happy we're being able to get, like, really well-made German pilsners that are coming in pretty darn fresh. And these are beers where there's nothing to hide. It's one malt and noble hops and but they're clean and beautiful. And what's amazing about these beers is they are so simple, yet so elegant. And it's really, really nice. And you know, it's Hawaii, so it...
I've Pilsner weather.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest stout drinker. I never have been. It's great if you're in a cold weather climate to have one or two. You know, but a Pilsner, it's just beautiful. And so that's something I'm really, really happy about. And we're getting some fantastic ones in now. And they're always readily available. And that's something I'm really, really excited about. You know, the sour beer trend is fantastic. I think it's starting to really get more focused. Because we went from having just, again, I think that was a category where everybody started making sour beers. And you know, some were good and some not so good. I think it's sort of, it's writing itself, and you have to give certain trends time to write itself. Same thing with hazy IPAs, right? They came out, there were a few places that just hit them out of the park, and then everybody got on the bandwagon, and there were a bunch of mediocre hazies. But people were buying them, they're trendy, so everybody's going to make it, right? And now you're starting to see people get more skilled at it. It's not just throwing stuff into a pot. You're getting brewers who are really taking the time to figure out how to make these beers exceptional. So, I mean, those are things that are really great. And you see it with certain beers that are trendy. Give them some time. Let, you know, brewers are going to figure it out. You know, they're passionate. They want to brew really good beers. So they're going to figure out how to make them top notch.
And to give people kind of the full picture of Village, they can come in, they can just sit at the bar, they can sit in Village, they can order from the bar, they can order on tap, or they can come in and buy, just like in a retail store, buy their beer to take home or buy their beer to drink in the store.
Yep.
They can do any combination of anything they possibly want.
Yeah, so you can, it's a retail, so it's basically split into two, even though there's not like a physical wall in between. On one side, it's a retail shop, that's a bottle shop, and the other side is our tasting room. It's a bar, but we like to call it our cafe. It's a little more casual. You order up at the counter. There's no table service or anything like that. And you can also purchase something on the bottle shop side, and we can bring it over into the tasting room side and open up. So it gives you, you know, limitless options of what you want to drink. So if we have 17 beers on draft, one local cider, 8 wines. So you have a lot of that. But if, say, you want something that's in the cooler, you know, go for it. And it's cool because there's no place that you're going to have that option to sit and enjoy it, right? You know,
and there's nowhere that you can really go and taste different beers and then say, oh great, I'd like to take that home with me. I mean, that I'm sure that so many people do that, come in and become converted to something by sitting in the convivial atmosphere and then just shopping and taking it home.
Absolutely. And it's fun to see when we have something on draft that we also have in package to point it out to somebody. I'm like, oh, I'm taking that home. And if not, there's people like, do you have this in bottles? No. But we have that, that, and that. Really similar. You're probably going to love it. And it's, again, it's making a connection and connecting someone with a product or a flavor and watching them kind of explore that. And that's cool. I mean, because then they say, like, oh, that's awesome. Then they come back. I want another one. Show me what else you got.
So with varying numbers of beers, 600, 700, maybe at the max there was 800 one time, what's possible? Like, if you had, like, unlimited space and cash, how many beers could a person have at one time in their store, given the size of the brewing industry globally now?
Oh, thousands. I mean, yeah, easily. But, you know, it really depends on where you are. I mean, so being in Hawaii, we are limited in what products are brought in Hawaii, just because at some point cost is a factor. So you'll notice if you ever walk into any store, Village or a supermarket, you're not going to see very many East Coast beers here. You'll see Sam Adams.
Too large to bring
up. Yeah, you'll see Sam Adams, mm-hmm. and not much else. And the reason for that, you won't see much east of the Mississippi represented in Hawaii, and it's just shipping costs. By the time that beer gets to Hawaii, the added cost of shipping onto that six pack or keg or whatnot would just put it out of price range, and where it just wouldn't sell enough to move enough to keep it fresh. You know, Sam Adams is a big company, so they can move that product, but Dogfish Head or Founders,
right,
you know, these other well-known breweries, you don't see them out here, and I don't know if we ever will, just unless there's ways to get it out here cheaper, which is tough.
But, you know, I think it's a good thing. I like it because people have always, since the beginning of time, traveled to taste beers, right? I mean, it used to be pilgrimages to Germany and still is for a lot of people to try their very first ever Bavarian brews. And I think there's something lovely about still being able to travel to a different country to try something that they make there in their hometown, especially when it's beer. And I think there's something really good about the fact that while we can have almost everything and have instant gratification, we still sometimes have to get on a plane or a train or a very long hike to go and find something that comes from its source. And to me, I think that's really nice. Not that it's not amazing that you have 800 or 1,000 beers, which you probably will have it one day. It's awesome too. But do you know what I mean? There's something, we still have to have the romance of sometimes going on a trek to taste something.
Nowadays in California, which is sort of the, it's the beer capital of the world right now. Every brand wants to be in California. It's just the number one beer market. You go into a bottle shop there or one of the bigger box beer stores, it's amazing but overwhelming, because California does have access to virtually every beer on the planet. There might be some that aren't distributed in California, but most are. And at some point, how do you pick, right? And even the last time I was there, there were breweries that just recently got into California. I was shocked. I'm like, why are you guys in California? You're such a small little brewery, but they want to be there. So it is nice, and it's nice to be able to go, like, I'm going to such and such state. And you look up what breweries are around, or you look up what shops are around. And it's awesome when people come in the village, and they're travelers, and like, we were coming on vacation, we're in Honolulu for 3 days, we wanted to go here, here, and here. And it's like, that's awesome, thank you. That's so
they're
cool.
Making a trek to see you because they know they can taste something that they probably couldn't taste somewhere else. So it's a good rhyme story. You are open 6 days a week or seven days a week? 7 days a week of beer drinking heaven.
We rarely close.
And you're open from when to when?
Sunday through Wednesday, 11 to 9, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 11 to 11.
And you're easy to find. You'll find Village Bottle Shop and Tasting Room in the Salt Project at Kaka'ako. It's very easy to find. And once you're inside Village, it's very easy to stay as well. Tim Golden is a certified Cicerone. He's also the co-owner of Village Bottle Shop and Tasting Room. It's so nice to talk to you. And maybe we can catch up again soon and talk about specific, like, seasonal beers, which is always a favorite thing of mine.
Absolutely. Lots of new ones coming in the next couple months.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information, remember, go check out our website, mojomcgarry.com. We'll see you next time.